Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
The Holy Spirit and Joy, Luke 1, 39-45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Today we lit the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. Joy is laced in the season, and we wait until that last moment on Christmas Eve when we'll gather in this space and we'll pass light to one another and we'll sing joy to the world. In our household, as far as the collection of the Christmas cards, joy is winning 10-1 on hope this year. So joy seems to be the theme. Made me go back to find out what other peoples do to define joy, so I went to the dictionary. The first definition in the dictionary is that it's an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. I want to question that. Is joy an emotion, or is it a state or a condition? It's a gift. Don't preach my sermon ahead of me. I don't know where that came from, but I'm going to ask you to hold on to the punchline to the very end. And it's certainly not external, because joy is not something that's prompted from the external. It's something that comes from the internal. So I went to the second part of the definition, a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Really? I watch a lot of people all week long who have a lot of pleasure but have no joy. And I watch a number of people who have joy who seem to have limited pleasure. So the dictionary is not doing very well by me right now. Third one, it's a state of happiness or felicity. I like the word felicity. We don't use it much anymore. But is joy really equal to happiness? Happiness is rooted in my circumstances. Joy seems to be something completely different. My circumstances change and my level of happiness is constantly changing. But joy can be a constant in that. And so, tired of the dictionary, I began listening to people around me, and I heard some of your declarations this week. I like the one that you put on Instagram, "Joy Wins." And then you gave the subtitle, "I'm Choosing Joy, Irregardless of Everything Else That's Happening in My Life in This Season." One of you sent me this email. "What God spoke to me is this: joy in the midst instead of lack thereof. Gratitude for God's presence is enough, for He is joy. He never leaves us or forsakes us." And then one of you said this to me on the phone: "Joy is not the absence of pain, but it is the presence of God." So here we are in the third week of Advent, and our celebration is joy. The ancients announced hope, the prophets, and we're going to see in our passage today that the Holy Spirit announces joy. And we're invited to enter in and to make both a part of our life in this season. So let's go to the text and look at this very unique and interesting passage. To know something that's going on, you need to know a little bit of the context before. So we said last week, the prophet said that the Messiah was coming, and now the time gets close, and God begins to intercede in His world in a greater way through angels. Mary gets this message. The Almighty One is about to overpower you. The Holy Spirit is hovering over you. All people who have read Scripture begin feeling that there's a movement of God that's about to happen, because it's the same language of creation. There's chaos and darkness, and the Spirit is hovering over the darkness to bring it into order. And there's still chaos because of sin in our world, but the Holy Spirit's hovering over Mary to bring new order. Creation and redemption come to memory in this moment. And Mary is the one who's called by God. Praise the Lord that He used two angels, because I'm glad that Joseph got the same message. It had been very hard for Joseph to accept everything in faith only from Mary. And Joseph gets it, and they begin moving forward. But let's never forget the social complications this created for them. When you're invited into God's plan, it's not always easy. There's a lot of social discomfort. And Mary feels the need to get away from her town, and she goes to visit Elizabeth. And this is what happens in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was her cousin. Some more context, Elizabeth and Zechariah had their own trouble going on. It says in verse 7 of this same chapter that Elizabeth had been barren and was advanced in age. And one of their great dreams to have a family, very important in that social structure, even more than the social structure in which we live, was not being lived out. And then one day an angel comes to Zechariah and says something's going to happen. So there's these two worlds of turmoil, hope and wonder and what's God going to do at coming together. And Elizabeth has this response. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." What Elizabeth recognizes is that God is doing something unique. Now, I've never been pregnant. But those of you who have been will tell me that babies leap in your womb at 6 months all the time. So there's obviously something unique that's happening in Elizabeth's experience. It's an auspicious moment. It's a moment when the divine and the natural and the mundane come together. You know what it's like when you experience God. It's almost impossible to explain it to people afterwards. You know that feeling? You try to give testimony to God showing up, and you put all the aspects together, but it just doesn't seem adequate in words. And in this moment, she has the Holy Spirit come upon her, and God moves. We know that it's John the Baptist that's inside her. It's the one to announce the way. John the Baptist would eventually say, "I'm baptizing with water, but there's one coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Jesus says of this one, the Holy Spirit, he's like a spring of eternal life inside of us that's ready to spring forth. If you ever come into my office, I will often pray this prayer. If you've been in my office a lot of times, maybe you're tired of it, but I don't care. I say, "Lord, your Holy Spirit lives us. You're like a spring. Would you begin springing up in us and out of us and fill this office with your presence?" Psalm says it this way, "The Spirit of the God makes life to abound within us." In this moment, God shows up, and the response of Elizabeth is very interesting. "Blessed are you." You see, when you experience God, you can't help but bless. There's a moment of exaltation and humiliation and struggle in all of this. But she blesses Mary as being one who's being obedient. And then she says these words, which are fascinating to me. "And why is it granted to me to meet the mother of my Lord?" Blessing in a sense of privilege. When you've tasted of the divine, there's this sense of privilege that's overcome you. And then the words that really are the center of the whole thing for me, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." When God comes, there's a leaping. There's an overcoming that you can't even explain. His presence becomes so real that you just can't help but let the joy out. Mary, we're not going to get into the passage, immediately follows with praise. We know it as Mary's Magnificat, where she says, "My spirit rejoices in the Lord," all in the midst of the pain and the struggle that they were in. You see, this is the message of the first Advent, and the angels will announce it next week to us. "Behold, I bring good news of great joy." So what's my so what this morning? It's simply this, to continue asking the question, what is joy? And I've come to this conclusion. Joy is the presence of God. Joy is the presence of God. Other things will please us for a while, But it's only God's presence that will make us so joyous that everything else slips away. And we become fully alive in the things that he's created for. That means, first and foremost, joy is a Holy Spirit gift. I can't produce joy, but I can receive it. Who said that's a gift? Stay out of my office when I'm preparing sermons. Right on, that's where it's at. I followed this thought all week long by rereading C.S. Lewis' book, Surprised by Joy. It's the story of his conversion. Isn't it interesting that his conversion, he uses the title Surprised by Joy? This is why. These are some of the things I noted. He says that all of his life he had this nagging, unsatisfied desire for something else. He later came to know it as joy. He began to see that it was distinct from happiness and pleasure, because when he got happiness and pleasure, it was not enough. It was always unsatisfying to some degree. He took many stabs at it in his life. He even tried Christianity to find joy. I love that line. While in school, he tried to read his Bible more and pray more and do the things of Christianity, but doing the things of Christianity didn't solve his pursuit. But he says there was one day when the arrow of joy himself pierced his heart, and he was surprised at how deep joy was. So I ask you this morning, has joy pierced your heart? Maybe today's the first time the blinders are going up. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've heard this message and over, but even as I say that Jesus is the source of all joy, there's a leaping inside of you. You didn't know what that was, but you almost, that's God revealing himself to you and saying, this is what you've been longing for a long time. This is my presence. I want to give you something that's far greater than happiness. See, joy is not just an ideal. It's not something that we work ourselves up to. Joy is a person, and his name is Jesus. And when Jesus comes walking into the room, you leap with joy, even when he's encased in a womb. Isn't that interesting? Here comes the Messiah walking into the room inside the womb of his mother, and immediately the Holy Spirit releases in Elizabeth. She's filled with the Spirit, and even the baby within her leaps. Leap, people, leap! Jesus is here. If there's anything missing that you know there's this nagging sense, let the joy in. Let him be everything that you've been longing for. The natural doesn't completely match the spiritual, but I believe the natural is mimicking the spiritual all the time. We saw it this summer with our son Jordan. He turned 25, and he's been living away from home for about 3 years, and so we really wanted to surprise him on his 25th birthday, and we got a bunch of people to organize a party for him. Now, Jordan's a hard guy to fool. He's in social media all the time. He tracks Facebook and Instagram. We're just thinking there's hardly going to be any way we can pull this off, but his friends did it. We showed up at his favorite sushi place in Charlotte. Is that North Carolina? Oh, he's in Charlotte, yeah, Chattanooga. I always get everything south of the Mason-Dixon line mixed up. There's Charlotte, Chattanooga, Charleston. They're all, I love those cities, but I just never get there enough to know which one is which one. I say that for you, Mike, just to bless you, buddy. We got there, and there were some other people that he wasn't expecting to be there because he thought it was just going to be his close, intimate friends, and we kept hearing him say, oh, you came. Oh, I didn't know you were going to be here. And Ingrid and I were hiding behind a tree in the restaurant. And we came out, and he was overcome with emotion and ran out of the restaurant and said, I'll be back in 5 minutes. He was surprised by joy that he was loved that much. Let me say it to you. If the Spirit leaped in you today and you are surprised by joy, know that that's God himself. Invite him to be everything that you've been longing for. And to take all the things of joy, all the joy robbers out. So that leads me to my second point on joy. I need to fight for it after I've experienced it. I'm going to borrow from another author. His name is John Piper. Many of you know that I've read this book 4 or 5 times, and I read the first 2 chapters last week and the last chapter again because I really needed in my soul. The name of the book is When I Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy. It almost sounds kind of redundant when we talk about a joyful Christian. We should just be called Christians, because having experienced Christ, there should just be this abundance of joy that comes into us. But slowly we see that joy seeps out of our life. Don't tell the people at the 9 o'clock, but there's some people I talked with after the service who have no joy. It's leaked out. Seriously. Now, I'm not criticizing them, because joy leaks out of my life. That's why I go back and read this book every year, so that I'll fight for it. How does it leak? Because we start pursuing happiness and not joy. In fact, we've been told by our Constitution that it's our inalienable right. Who made that up? The kingdom of God offers us something better, which is joy. Where do we pursue happiness? It's in fame, it's in pleasure, it's in riches, it's in comfort, it's in control. Now, at the core of all those things is something good, but they get slightly off at different times in our life. And as Tim Keller says, idols are simply good things that have become ultimate things. And slowly we get consumed by the pursuit of happiness. Here's the sad thing. When we actually get those things, we're not any happier than we were before. And we're longing, like C.S. Lewis says, for this nagging beyond us. We even do it with good things, our family, our career, our house, those different things, which are good things. They all of a sudden become ultimate things. And you know what? Even those good things are going to disappoint you someday. You can pour all your life into your family and it'll make you happy for a while, but someday there's not going to be happiness coming from your family. I guarantee it. And so at Christmas, I'm called to fight for joy, to fight for it. I fight for it in God's word. I fight for it by being in communion with him. And I like what he says. I fight for it by preaching to my own soul. I need to say, soul, be quiet. I'm tired of your whining. Be joyful in God, because he lives in you. Maybe none of you have to do that. Maybe you're the happy people in the parking lot. Fight, my friends. Life's too short not to have joy. So what's my now what? Don't look for joy out there. Be joy in here. See, because if we said that the source of all joy is Jesus, if Jesus lives in your heart, simply be who you are. And let him out into the world in which God has placed you. When Piper wrote his book, he called his father, who was 85 years old and had been a pastor for 65 years, and he said, "Dad, I'm writing a book on joy. After all these years, what counsel would you give to Christians in seeking joy?" And his father didn't even hesitate, and he said, "Tell them to share their faith." Piper goes on and says this: "The very essence of Christian joy is that it's not something you can keep for yourself, that joy abounds when you give it away." Maybe that's why that little ditty that we learned in Sunday school long ago is true. Joy is just an acronym: Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And in the giving away of our faith, God has the ability and the abundance of who he is in joy. He is all joy to come in and begin filling us up so that more would pour through us. The strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And he becomes everything that we need in the season where so many people are running from joy and only finding happiness. I have Advent prayers for you this week. I'm not going to take time to read them, but read it in the morning. It's an invitation for joy to live in you. Then the rest of the day, be joy. And at the end of the day, tell God thank you for filling you up with joy. And see if it doesn't make a difference. If it doesn't, I'll give you your money back. It hit me yesterday. I can't think about joy only from my side. I have to think about it from God's side. Do you know that God rejoices in your joy? In fact, the prophet said, the Lord dances over you with rejoicing. He takes delight when you have joy. I experienced that several years ago in one of my other children's lives. Our daughter, Linnea, has traveled all over the world and done all kinds of things. Amazingly courageous, far more than I ever was at that age. But she is one who likes to have everything aligned, and so before everything she does, there's a little bit of a panic if it's really going to turn out well. She was going to study in Australia during her junior year of university. She was going to leave in July and come back in December, and it took the last 3 weeks just cheering her on. She told me all the things that could go wrong, and God in his goodness helped in that because she missed her flight going to LA going on and all these different things, and she was late, and everything was just all out of mess. But as it turned out, it ended up being one of her great life experiences. As your father, you want to say, I told you so. But I'll never forget that December day standing at Newark Airport at the end of the international thing, just waiting to see my daughter. And everyone that came out, I was disappointed. And there she came with her long brown hair and her beautiful smile, and I was overcome with emotion because I could feel her joy that it had been such a good experience. Do you know your Father in heaven takes that same kind of delight? So be joyful. It's not only your privilege, it's your obligation, because it's the exchange of your relationship with him.